Hello, I am Magla Pillay, and I bid you a very warm welcome to the series entitled Women of the Future. This is a program dedicated to females all across the globe who are interested in deepening our understanding of ourselves and life. In this series, we will be looking at deep spiritual principles. We will explore universal truths to cause we women to shift our attitudes and change our thinking about what it means to be a woman during these critical times of great opportunity, irrespective of our age, culture, religion, the country that we were born in, and any other distinctive features about us. We trust that you will find that this program resonates with you. The aim of Women of the Future is to inspire we women to claim our power, and by power, I mean all forms of power, including social and spiritual power. We look at what is involved to bring about a new civilization. The Brahma Kumaris are working to create an embryonic civilization in which women are naturally self-aware and potent in their self-honor. Sister Denise, our speaker, has embraced a spiritual lifestyle from her 20s, and she has spent decades mastering the art of Raj Yoga meditation. Sister Denise, a very, very warm welcome.
Thank you.
And it's fantastic to have you back for another series.
Thanks.
Sister Denise, our topic today, and ladies, our topic today is entitled Turning the Attention from the Outer World into the Inner World. Sister Denise, could you tell us how this particular topic impacts on females, and why do you think it's something that females should focus on?
I think that women are continuously receiving messages about what they look like on the outside. And I think that along with those messages, there are other maybe less overt messages that say almost as if there's nothing on the inside anyway. And so it's all about, window shopping, magazine covers, what you look like. And so the inner aspect of women is sometimes considered not very good, unsafe, inaccessible. It's really discouraged. It's not at all encouraged. And so when women receive this kind of message, naturally they will disregard the inner part and focus more on the external part.
What would you say were the dangers of women focusing on the outside as opposed to the internal? Where's the problem in that, since it's something that everybody does?
Well, of course, I think if there's a balance that you are concerned about the external and you sort out the external, and then you can give a lot of attention to the internal. The internal is much more rich, much more subtle. It is cultivated and developed throughout your life. I think the essential identity of a woman lies in the inside. The danger is that you start living on the surface of your body and you start living through other people's perception of yourself, so that you are no longer coming from your actual self. You're no longer really interested in perceiving yourself as who you are and what you are. And the danger is that you actually lose yourself.
Sister Denise, you used an interesting expression, living on the surface of your body. I've never heard that before. What does that mean?
Well, it's all about fingernails and eyelashes and hairstyles and dress and accessories and things that you can waste a lot of money on. You tend to, I think, be pulled by commercial interests to use your money in ways that you wouldn't use if you had a better balance and if you were more concerned about the things that money cannot buy, which are the inner characteristics, the inner qualities, the inner power of a woman. Who are you really? You see, I think that women are thought of as a what and not a who. What is just a thing. Who is so deep, So, of course, mysterious, but it's a whole journey to discover the self and to discover others.
Sister Denise, I know that it's a very common thing and also a very global thing for women, both young and old, across the globe, to want to look good. It's a very deep thing. How does one make the transition from that to what you just described? And more importantly, why would you want to?
Well, I think this. First of all, are you wanting to look good for you? Or are you wanting to look good in somebody else's eyes, you see? Because you have your own sense of how you want to present yourself. And it may be that your idea of your elegance is not somebody else's idea of your sexiness, you know? And I think that women are encouraged to set aside their own idea of looking good in favor of commercial interests or the masculine world, which really sees women more as objects. There's a difference of opinion in that regard. I mean, of course, in many cases it can work together, but in a lot of cases it won't, you know.
So Denise, we will be taking this subject up in further episodes, but looking good and your external reality, as it were, is deeply connected with our identity.
Yes.
Deeply, deeply so. How then do we work on the inner world and still, do what is necessary for the outer world?
I think a lot of it has to do with who you feel you belong to. And culturally speaking, in many cultures, traditional cultures, as you get born, you belong to your father, who will reflect back to you how he sees you. Then he gives you to a husband. And then when you are in your old age, then you belong to your son. And so those people's opinion of you takes precedent over your opinion of yourself. The external and the internal are likely to match much more when you make yourself look like how you feel that you are. You see, if you make yourself look like how somebody else looks at you, it's rarely going to correspond to your own essential nature. And I think that if a woman will present herself according to how she feels she is, she will get a lot of negative feedback or discouragement. And so then it requires a lot of self-respect, a lot of courage to say, this is me, this is how I wish to present myself. I'm not doing it to please you, I'm doing it to be real.
What do you mean exactly when you say turning into your inner world? And the reason I ask this, Sister Denise, is for many women and men, but women especially, your inner world is a very scary place. Filled with past hurts and trauma and pain and unresolved issues. So there's that resistance you experience when you're turning inwards. And then there's the fact that, you know, you're quite happy with what's going on the outside. There's enough drama on the outside to keep your attention engaged anyway. So how does one make that transition? Because I know there are many women across the globe who are deeply interested in spiritual development and, you know, getting to know themselves better.
Yes. I think that when you turn within, you will encounter the unresolved issues, you will encounter traumas, hurts, betrayals, but there's a layer. It's almost as if you have to get across that hurdle in order to find the essential self. And so in a way, we might want to say that may be the price you pay. But what you get, having paid that price, is something absolutely beautiful, as something magical, something gorgeous, something very, very wonderful. And if you can be that which you really are and come to terms with the negative things that happened, you become, and this of course takes years of inner work, but you become someone who's very integrated, someone who is has got that combination of all the colors, the yin and the yang and the all the different aspects. So you become a very multi-dimensional, very interesting being to yourself and certainly to other people too, but then you're not an object.
Sister Denise, you know, you speak of having discovered things of beauty within yourself. There's a fear that many have that they are devoid of substance.
Yes.
I once heard a young lady say to me, and this particular young lady was particularly attractive, she thought, she was quite shocked when someone asked her on a date, because she said to me that she never thought anybody would ever be interested in her. And it wasn't anything to do with her physical attributes, it had everything to do with her attitude. So before you turn within, how do you know that there's something there to find if you do not have a positive self-image?
Well, I think that it's going to be very rare to start off with a positive self-image. And this is why, again, the word courage comes up. You go in to a being who has received messages, because you can't think you're worthless unless you got that idea from somewhere. And you got that idea, you know, there are many social attitudes that say, well, a girl has inherently less value than a boy, so your problem is you're a girl. Excuse me, why is that a problem? So this is something that is created from the world, which says, if you're born male, that's better than if you're born female, because females cost more money than males. Now, whether that's true or not, you have to check. Usually it's not the case, but it's the belief, you see. So whatever are the social attitudes, whatever are the beliefs that we have grown up in, and this, I think, is very interestingly an attribute of what I call woman of the past. And what I think we have to do in the present is really say, okay, let's take a look at what a woman is and see if these beliefs have any foundation or not, and really challenge the existing preconceptions. And now you go inside and you realize probably one of the most painful things is to realize that you had bought into all of these messages, which you now realize is lies, is untrue.
The messages that the female has gotten from where?
From the world around, from the family, from the society, from the school. You know, oh, well, you don't need to be educated, you're a girl, you just get married and produce children, that's all you're for. You know, these are the messages that a girl will receive as she grows up. You know, attention will be given to the boys, they will be given opportunities, they'll be allowed to do their preference, the girl has to always go along. So in a way, it's socializing the girl, preparing the girl to get married, where she has to go along with whatever her husband wants, you see, because the idea, there's a new idea, there's relatively new, that the man and wife negotiate what's interesting to do, because normally in the old world of the past, these things are not to be negotiated. You know, tradition mitigates against that. So I think in the last 30, 40 years, as you know, what we grew up in, there's been a big shift in what's considered allowable in more and more and more people, you see. So you have the The women's liberation, the getting the boat, all of these things happen in the 20th century. Mm. And in the 21st century, we see that in many, many parts of the world, the status of women, the condition of women, in some cases, rather than advancing, is even going backwards, you know, where women are not allowed any personal opinions. And in other cultures, women are way ahead, you know. And where I have lived in the world, I found the place where a woman has the greatest amount of autonomy in terms of what's possible was really the United States, more than Europe, where I grew up.
Sister Denise, you know, I hear whatever you said, but by the time a lot of females have come to the realization that they've got to make this journey that you so beautifully described, they carry with them a lot of pain of having been treated badly. Mm. I know this one other young lady who told me that the reason for all her drug problems was that her father treated her brothers differently from the way he treated her. She said there was no question of any form of abuse. He was a good man. But she said just by virtue of the fact that he treated her differently made her feel worthless. And this was communicated non-verbally, not verbally. The damage that is caused by the time a young lady you know, reaches adulthood, and I'm talking about somebody who grew up in the West, not in a a third world country, let me put it that way. So can one come back from such damage?
I think one can. I think it's a big journey. And I would say that, of course, abuse is considered as hands-on things. Now, recently, they started to think that verbal abuse is abuse. But even non-verbal abuse may well end up being called abuse. Because, you see, if a person is damaged by being discriminated against, well, it is abuse. But it's a question of getting it into the statutes to call it abuse, call it like it is, you see, because it's like torture. If there's no blood, it wasn't torture. But waterboarding leaves no physical trace, still called torture, you know. Mm. And I think that there are many ways in which women are treated or messages go or whatever, and the woman doesn't have anything inside her, unless she's very exceptional, which of course there are, to say, excuse me, you people don't have any clue who I am or what's going on. By the way, I exist, you see. That's a very exceptional woman who will do that. But the fact that there are women who do have this inner sense of self-worth, and they will gradually express it and present it, this allows other women to have a model to say, well, yes, me too, you know. Mm. But if there's no model at all and you're a total pioneer, of course that's a difficult road. But I think that there have been more and more women through the ages who have done this. And of course, another thing that happens is that if somebody does that, they may get sort of deleted from history, or, you know, their art, their music, they just get, you know, negated by the predominantly masculine world, which says, you know, a woman cannot be a composer because we don't have any female composers. So if there is one, we'll just get rid of her, and then we can continue with the assumption that there aren't any. You see, so this is something that actually takes place in different areas. I think more and more in the 20th century, a lot of breakthroughs were made. And I think also now, and we have to continue with it, I think one problem that happened is that women had competed with men in male terrain, until they reached almost to the top. And then when they reached to the top, they said, you know what, I don't like this. I don't want to be that. Mm. And then you sort of come back to your femininity, by which time a lot of years have passed. Mm. So I think now we are looking at a woman acquiring her power, understanding herself, maybe in an even new way, which we may want to call the spiritual way.
Mm. Sister Denise, you mentioned that it's necessary to take the first step to look within. How does one go about this? Do you do it alone? Do you stand in front of a mirror? Do you do it with a best friend? Do you go to a psychologist? How does one embark on this journey?
I think, I hope, that maybe if women see this program, which takes up the idea of you should look within, that a woman who has been kind of feeling it, but not quite knowing maybe how, might get the impetus to say, okay, yeah, let me start to do that. When women talk with each other about these things, it can be very, very rich. One of the problems that happens for a lot of women is, especially in traditional societies, is there's a setup among the women to set them up in competition with each other so that they're never really in a position to say, we're on the same side of the table. Now let's see what's on the other side of the table and really have the opportunity to discuss with each other what they're all up against. So that's one arrangement to maintain the status quo, and it's very specifically set up, you know. But another thing is that many women will feel something inside, they'll feel something not quite right. They'll receive messages, well, if you feel it's not quite right, it means there's something wrong with you. And then the woman has to really take a look. Is there really something wrong with me? I don't think there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with having to be up against what I'm up against, you see. So really, I think the more it's talked about, the more you hear about it, the more it comes in the media and the internet and the YouTube, the TED Talks, all of these things, you see. The wonder of the social media and everything is that women are starting to get access to things that the conventional media doesn't spoon feed them with, because they're free to research. And I think that that makes a big difference. And then it may be through a friend, it may be they decide to do therapy, it may be, who knows, it may be a book, you know. But I think it's in the air, and that really helps everything. Mm.
Sister Denise, you know what comes to mind as I'm listening to you? The images that we are bombarded with in the media of, you know, do you want to look like this as opposed to this? And if you do this, you'll, you know, end up looking like this, etc. All of that is very overtly attractive. Whereas what you're presenting and this energy that you emanate of, you know, super cool and calm and peaceful, which mm-hmm. is a different type of spiritual attraction, is not overt. It's almost like a... well, to coin a phrase, covert beauty. Okay?
Well, I think that's a nice phrase. Covert beauty is a good thing.
Okay. So, because the obvious is so out there, and, you know, young girls as well as older women are drawn to that, then how does one come to this, what you've achieved?
We may have to say, okay, it's a matter of time. But as time goes by, all of this accumulated awareness reaches people at a younger and younger age, you know. And I think the teenagers, those in their early 20s, young women are, you know, much more sensitive to this than they were, say, 30 or 40 years ago when we were at that age, you know. So I think that it's a matter of the time is ripe.
Once you have embarked on this journey of the inner world, what is there to discover?
Ah, it's a whole universe of shades and colors and feelings and possibilities and creativity and relationship and so many things that were behind a wall or behind a veil, and go into this wonderful self-discovery and the discovery of the energy of the feminine, which is such an important part of the whole world, of the whole human society. You know, I think it's been very skewed, and now it's a question of bringing it back into balance.
Would you believe we've come to the end? I really liked what Sister Denise shared, sisters and ladies listening to us from all across the globe. Sister Denise has taken us into a journey of understanding why it's important to move from one's outer world into the inner world. She did say very realistically, and this is one of the things I like most about Sister Denise, is that she's very practical in her approach. And I do hope that you have taken something from today's show which will inspire you to do just that, to turn into your inner world and realize there's more to you than what you see in the mirror. Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you so much for joining us at home. We do hope to see you again for future episodes. Take care and goodbye.